ever get the feeling that like there are secret millionaires just hiding in plain sight?
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Maybe it's that neighbor who always drives an old pickup truck, or the lady with those like well-worn gardening gloves.
Right.
Turns out the millionaire next door isn't just like a catchy title.
Yeah.
It's actually backed by decades of research.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff.
And today we are going to unpack those findings and challenge some assumptions about what it really takes to build wealth here in America.
You know what's so cool about Stanley and Danko's research is that they didn't just crunch numbers.
Right.
They actually got into the lives of hundreds of millionaires,
Wow.
unearthing, the habits and mindsets behind their success.
So you've got a stack of like real world stories
Oh, yeah.
alongside the hard data. It's perfect for our deep dive. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, I'm kind of curious. Think about your own neighborhood.
Okay.
Do any of your neighbors fit that millionaire stereotype? More importantly, do you think you are on the path to millionaire status?
That is a great question to kind of keep in mind as we go along, because one of the book's biggest takeaways is that true wealth builders often don't fit that flashy image we see in the media.
Right.
Think big hat, no cattle, all show, no substance.
Okay, so ditch the private jets and designer labels. Got it.
Yeah.
But what does replace those things? Like, what's in the Millionaire Next Door starter kit?
Well, the authors identified seven common denominators
Yeah.
among the millionaires they studied,
Okay.
and it's not about luck or inheritance. These are behavioral patterns, choices people made that led to financial success.
Okay, lay some wisdom on me. What are a couple of the most surprising ones? I need to know if I need to adjust my approach.
Well, living well below your means is crucial.
Right.
This ties directly into that big hat, no cattle concept we just discussed.
Okay.
True financial independence often comes from prioritizing saving and investing over displays of social status.
Interesting. So it's more about inner satisfaction than outward appearances.
Precisely. Another key denominator is choosing the right occupation.
Okay.
And this doesn't necessarily mean high-powered corporate jobs or fancy degrees. Later on, we'll delve into some specific professions that are surprisingly common among millionaires.
Okay, I'm definitely intrigued, but let's back up a second. You mentioned living well below your means. The book actually tells this story about a billionaire's wife who, get this, continued to clip coupons after receiving $8 million in company stock.
Yeah, that anecdote always makes me chuckle. It perfectly illustrates the point that frugality isn't just for people struggling to make ends meet. It's a mindset that helps you build and maintain wealth, no matter your income level.
While I admire her dedication, I have to admit, if I suddenly had millions, I might splurge a little. I guess that's why she's the millionaire, and I'm not. Seriously, though, what's the deeper strategy at play here?
It's about understanding the difference between realized and unrealized income. So when you clip coupons or find other ways to save, you're essentially maximizing your unrealized income. The money that grows through investments and isn't taxed until you sell.
Ah, so it's not just about saving money, it's about shifting it into a different category where it can work harder for you over time.
Exactly. Think of it like building a financial fortress. Every dollar you save is another brick, and frugality helps you gather those bricks much faster.
Love that analogy. Okay, so if frugality is laying the bricks, what else does it take to build this financial fortress? The book talks about the used vehicle prone shopper, and I'm guessing it's more than just hunting for used cars, right?
Absolutely. It's a way of thinking, a deep awareness of value and cost. These shoppers are meticulous planners. They bargain strategically, and they prioritize long-term financial goals over fleeting impulses.
So it's less about being like cheap and more about being smart and intentional with your spending.
Yes.
I like that.
The book is full of amazing anecdotes about these shoppers.
Oh, really?
One story features a teacher and a cotton farmer who travel for miles to get the best deals.
Wow.
Another tells of a stockbroker who expertly leverages referrals to find the best used luxury cars. These folks aren't just saving pennies, they're playing a different financial game entirely.
I'm starting to see a pattern here. It's like they've cracked the code to a system that most of us are totally missing. Speaking of systems, the book also talks a lot about the importance of starting early with earning and investing. But is it really that crucial? I mean, can't you make up for lost time later on?
You might be surprised. The book contrasts two individuals, Mr. Denzi, an early earner and investor, and Dr. Doakes, a high earner, but started investing much later in life.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Who came out ahead?
Mr. Danzy, despite earning far less overall, ended up with 5 to 6 times more wealth than Dr. Doakes. It really highlights the power of compounding over time.
Wow, talk about a long game. Even the authors admit they're not wealthy yet, partly due to their years spent in higher education. I guess they were busy gaining a different kind of wealth.
That's a good point. It highlights that different life choices have financial implications, but education plays a crucial role in building financial independence. And that's where things can get tricky when family gets involved.
You're talking about the concept of economic outpatient care, right? Isn't helping your kids financially a good thing?
Well-intentioned as it may be, the books suggest that constant financial help can actually hinder financial independence.
Okay.
The authors use the example of Lamar and Mary. They live a seemingly affluent lifestyle, but are secretly dependent on Mary's mother's gifts.
Oh, I see where this is going. So they look successful, but their financial foundation is actually quite shaky.
Exactly. And this kind of dependence can create a whole host of problems, from unrealistic expectations to potential family conflict. It's like building a house on sand. It might look fine for a while, but eventually it's going to crumble.
So how do you help your kids build a house on solid ground, so to speak?
The book makes a clear distinction between handouts and empowerment.
Okay.
Providing for education is about giving your kids the tools and knowledge to build their own financial fortresses.
Mm-hmm.
It's about investing in their future, not propping up an unsustainable present.
Okay, that makes sense. It's about teaching them to fish, not just giving them fish.
Exactly. And speaking of setting kids up for success, let's shift gears and explore some career paths that the book highlights as being particularly well-suited for wealth building.
All right, I'm all ears. What are the top contenders?
We'll dive deeper into this later, but three key areas stand out. Legal professions, medical and dental care specialists, and the often overlooked skilled trades.
Interesting. I'm already surprised. Not exactly the glamorous careers you typically associate with millionaire status.
And that's the point. The book debunks the myth that you need a flashy job title or a high-flying lifestyle to become wealthy.
It's about the mindset and the habits, not the outward trappings.
Exactly. In fact, the authors dedicate an entire chapter to the idea of dull-humble businesses.
Oh, wow.
They argue that it's not about the type of business, but the character of the business owner.
Yeah.
Their discipline, their frugality, their ability to make smart decisions.
Okay, so forget the Silicon Valley startup fantasy. I could be running a dry cleaning business and still become a millionaire if I have the right approach.
Well, not necessarily dry cleaning. The authors actually call out a business broker
mm-hmm.
who falsely claimed they had identified that as a millionaire industry.
Yeah.
But the point stands. It's about you, not the industry.
I'm starting to realize that the millionaire next door is less about specific tactics and more about a fundamental shift in thinking. It's about rewiring your brain for financial success.
You're catching on.
Yeah.
And that shift in thinking often starts with challenging our assumptions about what wealth really looks like and how it's built.
So less Lamborghini, more used Toyota Camry, less designer handbag, more home-cooked meals.
You get in the picture. It's about being intentional with your resources, delaying gratification, and investing in your future self.
It's like choosing the long-term reward over the short-term temptation.
Precisely. And that's a muscle we can all strengthen with the right knowledge and mindset.
Well, I'm definitely feeling inspired to start flexing my financial fitness muscles.
Great. And keep in mind, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've got a lot more to uncover as we dive deeper into The Millionaire Next Door. Remember those 7 common denominators we mentioned earlier?
Mm-hmm.
They really are the heart of the Millionaire Next Door philosophy.
Oh.
And what's great is they're not just abstract concepts.
Right.
They offer practical guidance no matter where you are on your financial journey.
Okay, let's break them down one by one. We've talked a lot about living below your means.
Right.
But what are some concrete strategies for putting that into action? I'm all about actionable steps.
Well, the book suggests starting with awareness.
Okay.
Track your expenses, create a detailed budget, and you'll quickly identify areas where you can trim without feeling deprived.
Mm-hmm.
It's often about making small, sustainable changes rather than drastic overhauls.
So it's like a financial diet,
yeah.
Swapping out the junk food for healthier choices.
Exactly. You might be surprised how much you can save just by being more mindful of your daily spending habits.
Right.
And those savings add up over time, giving you more fuel for investing and building wealth.
Makes sense. Now, the second denominator is about efficiently allocating your time, energy, and money. That sounds pretty broad. What does that look like in a real-world scenario?
Think of it this way. Are you investing your resources in activities that align with your financial goals?
Right.
Maybe it's spending less time scrolling social media and more time researching investment opportunities.
Right.
Or perhaps it's cutting back on impulse purchases to free up cash for a down payment on a rental property.
Ah, so it's about being strategic and intentional with, like, every decision, making sure it moves you closer to your financial goals.
Exactly. Every choice has an opportunity cost.
Right.
Spending an hour binge-watching TV means an hour not spent building your side hustle or learning a new skill that could boost your income.
Okay, time to reassess my Netflix queue. Now onto the third denominator. Believing that financial independence is more important than displaying high social status. I think we all, like, struggle with this to some extent, right?
Absolutely. We're constantly bombarded with messages that equate material possessions with success and happiness.
Yeah.
But the millionaires studied in the book often bucked this trend.
Mm.
They drove older cars, lived in modest homes, and generally flew under the radar.
But wouldn't that be, like, hard? I mean, wouldn't you feel pressure to keep up with your peers, especially if you were financially successful?
That's where the importance of internal validation comes in.
Hey.
These millionaires define success on their own terms.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't motivated by impressing others. They were driven by a deep sense of purpose and a desire for financial freedom.
That's such a, like, refreshing perspective. It's about breaking free from the comparison trap and focusing on what truly matters to you.
Exactly. And this ties into the fourth denominator, which focuses on the influence of upbringing.
Okay.
Children of parents who didn't provide economic outpatient care often developed a stronger sense of financial independence and self-reliance.
But isn't there a balance to be struck? I mean, shouldn't parents, like, want to help their children succeed financially?
Of course. But the key is empowerment, not enablement. It's about teaching kids to manage money responsibly, earn their own way, and make smart financial choices. Think of it as equipping them with the tools to build their own financial fortresses, rather than constantly patching up the holes in a leaky one.
Love that analogy. It's like teaching them to be architects of their own financial destiny.
Exactly. And when those children grow up to be financially self-sufficient, as highlighted in the fifth denominator,
mm-hmm.
it creates a positive ripple effect.
Okay.
It allows parents to focus on their own financial goals and reduces the potential for financial strain within the family.
So it's like a win-win for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about denominator number six. Being proficient in targeting market opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds very entrepreneurial. Break it down for me.
It's about having a keen sense of where the money is flowing.
Okay.
Spotting emerging trends and understanding how to position yourself to capitalize on them.
Mm-hmm.
Think of those folks who seem to always be ahead of the curve, investing in the next big thing before anyone else catches on.
Ah, so it's about having, like, a nose for opportunity and a willingness to take calculated risks.
Precisely. It's not just about blind luck.
Right.
It's about developing the skills and the mindset to recognize and seize opportunities when they arise.
So it's a blend of intuition, market research, and maybe a little bit of that, like, entrepreneurial daring.
Exactly. And this brings us to the seventh and final denominator, which is choosing the right occupation.
Okay.
This isn't just about picking a high-paying job.
Mm.
It's about finding a career path that lines with your skills, your interests, and your long-term financial goals.
Okay, so this is where all the pieces start to come together. You've got the right mindset, you're living below your means, you're a savvy shopper, and now you're choosing a career that sets you up for financial success.
Right.
It's like a recipe for building wealth.
Exactly. It's about creating a synergistic system where all these elements work together to to propel you toward your financial goals.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the right occupation doesn't necessarily mean a traditional high-status job.
Right. We talked earlier about how legal professions, medical specialists, and even skilled trades can be surprisingly lucrative paths to wealth.
The book challenges us to think beyond the conventional notions of success and to consider a wider range of options.
Okay.
What matters most is finding a field where you can excel, build a strong reputation, and potentially even create your own business.
So it's about being a master of your own financial destiny, regardless of the specific career path you choose.
Exactly. And this brings us back to the importance of mindset.
Okay.
Building wealth isn't just about following a set of rules.
Right.
It's about developing a way of thinking, a set of habits that support your financial goals.
It's about aligning your actions with your aspirations.
Precisely. And that's where things can get tricky because our brains are often wired for instant gratification, not long-term planning.
That's so true. It's like much easier to splurge on a fancy dinner than to invest that money for retirement, even though we know logically that the investment will pay off more in the long run.
Exactly. So how do we overcome that that inherent bias toward instant gratification?
Right.
That's where the book's insights into the psychology of wealth building become incredibly valuable.
Okay, I'm all ears. What are some strategies for like rewiring our brains for financial success?
The book emphasizes the importance of developing a long-term perspective.
Okay.
It's about understanding the power of compounding and recognizing that true wealth is built over time through consistent effort and smart choices. Think of it like training for a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
You need endurance, patience, and a clear vision of the finish line.
So it's about delaying gratification today to reap the rewards tomorrow. But how do you like stay motivated when those rewards seem so far off in the distance?
That's where having a strong why comes in.
Okay.
Why are you striving for financial independence?
Right.
What are your goals and dreams?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a clear vision of what you're working toward, it's much easier to stay focused and resist those tempting short-term distractions.
So it's not just about the money itself. It's about the freedom and the opportunities that money can provide.
Exactly. It's about creating a life where you have more choices, more control, and more flexibility to pursue your passions and live life on your own terms.
That's a powerful motivator.
Yeah.
Now, I know the book talks about the importance of avoiding economic outpatient care.
Right.
But let's like flip that around.
Okay.
What about investing in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How does that play into the equation of wealth building?
That's a fantastic point.
Yeah.
Investing in yourself is one of the most valuable investments you can make.
Mm-hmm.
It could mean pursuing higher education, learning new skills, attending workshops, or even investing in your health and well-being.
Hmm.
The key is to view these as investments that will pay dividends over time.
So it's not just about accumulating financial assets. It's about developing your human capital,
hmm.
your skills, your knowledge, your network, all the things that make you more valuable and marketable.
Exactly. Think of it like upgrading your personal operating system.
Okay.
Making yourself more adaptable, resourceful, and capable of navigating the ever-changing financial landscape.
Okay, I'm loving this analogy. So we're investing in ourselves, we're living below our means, we're being strategic with our time and energy. But
yeah.
What about the role of risk? I know the book emphasizes the importance of calculated risk, but how do you know when to like take a leap of faith and when to play it safe?
That's a great question. And it's a balancing act that requires careful consideration and a deep understanding of your own risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Millionaires aren't reckless gamblers. They're strategic risk takers.
So it's about weighing the potential rewards against the potential downsides and
yeah.
making informed decisions based on your individual circumstances and goals.
Exactly. The book suggests that millionaires often have a higher tolerance for risk. But they also mitigate that risk through careful planning, diversification, and a willingness to learn from their mistakes.
So it's not about avoiding risk altogether. It's about managing it intelligently.
Precisely. It's about having the courage to step outside your comfort zone while also having the wisdom to protect yourself from unnecessary losses.
Now, I want to shift gears a bit and talk about the role of family and relationships in wealth building.
Quick.
The book highlights the importance of having a supportive spouse who shares your financial values. Why is that so crucial?
Financial harmony within a relationship is like having a strong foundation for your financial house.
Mm-hmm.
When both partners are on the same page, it creates a sense of shared purpose and teamwork.
Right.
They can support each other's goals, make joint decisions, and celebrate their successes together.
So it's about having like a financial ally, someone who understands and encourages your financial journey.
Exactly. And it's not just about being on the same page financially. It's about having open and honest communication about money so you can navigate challenges together and make informed decisions as a team.
Makes sense. Now, I know we've been focusing a lot on financial wealth.
Right.
But what about other forms of wealth?
Yeah.
The book mentions relationships, health, personal fulfillment. How do they fit into the equation?
That's a crucial point. The book acknowledges that financial wealth is just one piece of the puzzle.
Mm.
True wealth encompasses all aspects of a fulfilling life.
So it's about having a holistic view of wealth, recognizing that money is a tool that can be used to enhance your life, not the sole definition of success.
Exactly. It's about using your financial resources to create a life that's rich in experiences, relationships, personal growth, and meaningful contributions to the world.
It's like diversifying your wealth portfolio, investing in all the things that matter most to you.
I love that analogy. It's about creating a balanced and fulfilling life, not just a fat bank account.
Now, let's talk about something that can be a major obstacle for many people on their path to wealth building: limiting beliefs. The book emphasizes the importance of overcoming negative self-talk and developing a growth mindset.
This is so important.
Yeah.
Our thoughts and beliefs can either empower us or hold us back. If we believe that wealth is only for the lucky few, or that we're not capable of achieving financial success, we're likely to sabotage our own efforts.
So it's about rewiring our brains to believe in our own potential and to see opportunities where others might see obstacle.
Exactly. The book encourages readers to shift from a fixed mindset where you believe your abilities are predetermined to a growth mindset where you believe you can learn, grow, and improve over time.
It's like replacing that inner critic with an inner cheerleader who believes in your ability to succeed.
Exactly. And it's not just about positive self-talk. It's about taking action, even when it's scary or uncomfortable.
Mm.
It's about embracing challenges as opportunities for growth and learning from your mistakes along the way.
So it's about having the courage to step outside your comfort zone and to like keep pushing yourself towards your financial goals, even when you face setbacks or doubts.
Exactly. And another major obstacle that many people face is, of course, debt.
Right. Debt can feel like a heavy weight dragging you down, making it even harder to make progress towards your financial goals.
The book highlights the importance of avoiding unnecessary debt and building a solid financial foundation.
Right.
So it's like making sure the ground is level and stable before you start building that financial fortress.
So it's about being mindful of the true cost of debt and making sure that any debt you take on is used strategically to leverage your finances, not just to fund a lifestyle you can't afford.
Exactly. It's about using debt wisely, not not letting it control you.
Makes sense. Now, let's talk about something that's closely related to debt.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of having a long-term perspective when it comes to wealth building.
This is where the magic of compounding really comes into play.
Okay.
The book emphasizes the need for patience and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It's about understanding that that true wealth is built over time through steady progress and smart choices, not through get-rich-quick schemes.
So it's about like playing the long game, resisting the temptation for instant gratification, and trusting that the seeds you plant today will grow into a bountiful harvest in the future.
Beautiful imagery. It's about embracing the journey, celebrating the small wins along the way, and knowing that the rewards will be worth the wait.
Now, I know the book focuses on individual wealth building, but I'm curious about your thoughts on something we touched on earlier. Could these principles be applied on a larger scale to address societal issues like poverty and economic inequality?
It's a thought-provoking question. While The Millionaire Next Door primarily focuses on individual strategies, I believe the underlying principles of financial responsibility, hard work, and strategic planning could be applied more
So
broadly.
it's not just about individual success, it's about creating a system that empowers everyone to achieve financial well-being.
Exactly. Imagine a world where financial literacy is taught in schools, where saving and investing are encouraged from a young age, and where access to financial resources and opportunities is more equitable.
That's a vision worth striving for.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, let's circle back to those seven common denominators. We've touched on them individually, but I'd love to see how they fit together as a whole.
Absolutely. Think of them as the pillars of a strong financial foundation.
Okay, so the first pillar is living well below your means. We've talked about the importance of frugality and strategic spending. How does this tie into the other denominators?
Living below your means frees up resources that you can then allocate efficiently, as highlighted in the second denominator.
Right.
It allows you to invest in yourself, your business, or your financial future. And it reduces your reliance on debt, which, as we discussed, can be a major obstacle to wealth building.
It's like a domino effect. One positive habit leads to another.
Exactly. And this ties into the third denominator, prioritizing financial independence over social status.
Okay.
When you're not trying to keep up with the Joneses, you're free to make choices that align with your long-term goals rather than fleeting trends or societal pressures.
So it's about being true to yourself and your financial vision.
Precisely. And this internal compass is often shaped by our upbringing, as highlighted in the fourth and fifth denominators. Children who learn financial independence from a young age are more likely to carry those habits into adulthood and to raise their own children with a similar mindset.
So it's about breaking the cycle of financial dependence and creating a legacy of financial empowerment.
Exactly. And this focus on empowerment extends to the sixth denominator, targeting market opportunities.
Right.
It's about having the confidence and the skills to identify and seize opportunities that align with your goals and values.
So it's about being proactive and creating your own luck rather than waiting for it to fall into your lap.
Exactly. And finally, choosing the right occupation, as emphasized in the seventh denominator, brings it all together. It's about finding a career path that not only provides financial stability, but also allows you to leverage your skills, pursue your passions, and make a meaningful contribution to the world.
So it's about finding that sweet spot where your talents, your values, and your financial goals intersect.
Precisely. And that, in a nutshell, is the essence of the Millionaire Next Door philosophy. It's a holistic approach to wealth building that encompasses not just financial strategies, but also mindset, habits, relationships, and a deep understanding of yourself and your goals.
Well, I have to say this has been an incredibly insightful deep dive so far. I feel like I'm starting to see the world through a whole new lens, a millionaire next door lens, perhaps.
I'm glad to hear that. And remember, this is just the beginning. As we continue our exploration, we'll delve deeper into the specific strategies and tactics that millionaires use to build and maintain their wealth.
Okay, I'm ready to unlock those millionaire secrets.
And I'm,
What are some
yeah.
of the specific strategies and tactics that like set these wealth builders apart?
Well, we've talked a lot about the importance of frugality and smart spending,
Right.
but that's just one piece of the puzzle. Millionaires also tend to be savvy investors.
Okay.
They understand the power of compounding and the need to make their money work for them.
So it's not just about saving money, it's about like putting that money to work in investments that generate income and grow over time.
Exactly. They often prioritize long-term growth over short-term gains, and they're willing to ride out market fluctuations with a patient and disciplined approach. They see investing as a marathon, not a sprint.
And I know the book talks about the importance of seeking guidance from qualified financial professionals.
Right.
But with so much like financial advice out there, how do you find someone you can trust?
That's a great question. And it's one that the authors address directly.
Okay.
They suggest looking for fee-based advisors.
Okay.
Not those who earn commissions on the products they sell. This helps ensure that their incentives are aligned with yours.
So it's about finding a financial advisor who's more like a coach.
Hmm.
Someone who's invested in your success, not just trying to like sell you something.
Exactly. It's about finding someone who understands your goals, educates you about your options, and helps you create a customized plan that's tailored to your needs and risk tolerance.
And it probably wouldn't hurt to like do your own research.
Oh, for sure.
Check their credentials and get referrals from people you trust.
Absolutely. It's like any other major decision in life. You want to do your due diligence and make sure you're working with someone who's competent, ethical, and has your best interests at heart.
Now, I want to circle back to something we discussed earlier, the idea of applying the Million Next Door principles to create a more equitable and financially secure society.
Right.
It's easy to get caught up in like individual success stories, but I think it's important to consider the bigger picture.
I couldn't agree more. The book's findings raise some important questions about our societal values and the systems we've created.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the emphasis on minimizing realized income highlights some potential issues with our tax structure.
Okay.
Could we create a system that's more equitable and encourages long-term wealth building for everyone, not just the wealthy?
That's a complex issue, but it's certainly worth exploring.
Yeah.
And what about our consumer culture, which often like glorifies spending over over saving? Could we shift our collective mindset to prioritize financial literacy, delayed gratification, and long-term planning?
Those are great questions.
Mm.
And I think The Millionaire Next Door provides a valuable framework for starting that conversation.
Mm.
It challenges us to re-examine our assumptions about wealth and to consider alternative paths to financial success.
It's like holding a mirror up to our society and asking, is this really the best way to do things?
Exactly. And the answer might be a resounding no.
Yeah.
Perhaps we need to rethink our priorities, our education system, our financial institutions, and even our cultural narratives about what it means to be successful.
So it's not just about like tweaking a few policies. It's about a fundamental shift in our thinking and our values.
Precisely. It's about creating a society where everyone has the opportunity to achieve financial well-being, not just a select few.
Well, this has been an incredibly thought-provoking, deep
dive.
I feel like I've not only learned a lot about how millionaires build wealth, but also about how we can potentially create a more equitable and financially secure future for everyone.
I'm so glad to hear that. And remember, The Millionaire Next Door is just a starting point.
Mm.
It's up to each of us to take these insights and apply them to our own lives, our communities, and our society as a whole.
So, dear listener, as you go about your day, think about those seven common denominators. Think about the choices you're making with your time, your energy, and your money. Are you building your financial fortress brick by brick? Are you investing in yourself and your future? Are you living a life that aligns with your values and your goals?
And remember, the journey to wealth, to fulfillment, to a life well-lived, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So be mm-hmm. patient, be persistent, and enjoy the ride.
And if you're looking for more guidance and inspiration along the way, be sure to check out The Millionaire Next Door. It's a timeless classic that will challenge your assumptions and empower you to take control of your financial destiny. Until next time, keep diving deep and keep reaching for your dreams.